The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, good morning, church. It is great to worship you with, not worship you, but worship with you this morning. It's great to worship Jesus with you this morning. Today we are going to look at our fourth core value, and that core value is a life of simplicity and generosity. And I wonder whether, as you look at those words, simplicity and generosity, I wonder whether you can guess the taboo topic that we are going to touch upon today. Does anyone want to have a wild guess here? Money! Connell's gone the money. It's exactly right. Yep, we're going to have a chat today about money. Now, today will be the first time that this rookie senior minister speaks on the topic of money. And I've got to confess that parts of me over this last week have been dreading this. And dreading this because money in the church is one of the six top belief blockers to Christianity in Australia. And money is right up there with things like church abuse, judgmentalism, and hypocrisy. It's not a very popular topic. And also, usually the person giving the money talk is often not very popular either. And I don't like people not liking me. But the other reason that I've been dreading this day is because I feel like I've still got such a long way to go in this whole area of simplicity and generosity. Like I've said before, and I don't want to offend any fellow Dutch people in the building, but I've got Dutch blood running through my veins. And that means that we've got a bit of a reputation. And that reputation has, there's two famous things that we're known for. That one is that we can be stubborn every now and then. And that means that we can also be stubborn with money. And we've got a little bit of a reputation for being a bit tight with our money. I reckon that's a bit harsh, because I like to think that we're frugal with our money. But the reality is, this is an area of my life that has been a big discipleship challenge. And I've had to learn generosity. I've had to learn the principles of giving. And I thank God for what He has done. And I also want to thank my wife. I need to honour her, because she has a beautiful, generous spirit. And I know that that has rubbed off on me. So on one hand, I've been dreading this day and I'm a little bit nervous. But on the other, I'm really excited, because today I get to talk to you about something that has the potential to change the world. Church, I believe with Jesus, God has given us the resources to make a significant impact, a significant kingdom impact on our world. And the reality is, church, as you look around this morning, the reality is this just doesn't happen without money and without your generosity. All of the great staff that we have, the ministries, the outreach that we do, all of the missional endeavours, you look at that wall, you see that every Sunday. All of the building of God's kingdom here now on earth, none of it happens without you, God's people, deciding to give what God has called you to give out of the goodness of your hearts. And I want to just take this moment right now just to affirm you and to affirm your generosity. Church, you guys are unbelievably generous. And I say that because I am consistently impacted and moved by your generosity, by your willingness to meet the needs that are out there, and your willingness to sow into the vision of helping people find and follow Jesus. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I'm impacted because in 2 weeks, you gave over $40,000 to missions. That is unbelievably generous. That is impacting, and that is very moving. So thank you for your generosity. It's amazing. So yes, this morning, church, we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about money. And later I want to have a frank conversation about our income and our expenditure. And I want to show you what we forecasted or what we have forecasted for this year. And I'll also outline some of the ways that you can partner with Life Streams and so that you can sow into the vision that this church has been called to. I'm also really excited because I get to talk about today something that is way bigger than just money. Today is really a message about discipleship. During the week, I came across this quote. It said this: giving and being generous with our resources is an essential component of discipleship. And it teaches us to emulate the God who loved the world so much that he gave. You see, Christ followers, we are actually called to what I call a Romans 12 lifestyle. We're called to offer our lives. We're called to offer our everything as an offering. And I want to remind you of what Romans 12:1 says. And this is out of the Message. It says this: so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Can you hear in those words the word everything? Place our lives, place our everything before God as an offering. Let's pray. Jesus, it is just great. It's great to be gathered together. And Lord, I pray that as we look at simplicity and generosity, I pray your Spirit would speak to each of our hearts. Speak into our lives, no matter where we're up to in our discipleship journeys. And no matter how big our box is, no matter how big our everything is, and no matter how big our wallet is. Again, Lord, may our response this morning be motivated by your love and motivated by your grace and what you have done. Please open our hearts, speak to us by your Spirit through your word. And Lord, I never want to forget to pray for our children. Lord, I pray that they have an awesome time this morning in Water's Edge, Discovery Cove, learning more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, church, a life of simplicity and generosity. I'm wondering whether this morning together we can read this core value out together as a church. And so after three, I'll go 1, 2, 3. And it's going to come up on the screen in a moment. Jeremy's going to put it up for us. Oh, it's there. Let's read it out. 1, 2, 3. Life Streams aspires to be a church committed to a lifestyle of Christ-like freedom and simplicity. The way we live and worship reflects our commitment to sacrificial and generous giving, to support our community and ministry. That's our core value, life of simplicity and generosity. Now, you might be wondering what these boxes are all about. Have you been wondering about what these boxes are all about? I hope you have, because that's why they're there, to make you wonder why they are there. Today's passage is in a moment, we're going to jump into 1 Timothy chapter 6. But before we dig into chapter 6 in 1 Timothy, I wanted to just point your attention to verse 17. So it's 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. And it's going to come up. It's command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with what? Everything. Everything for our enjoyment. So this morning, church, these boxes represent the everything that God has given us. And I want you to notice, what do you notice about the three boxes? The three different sizes, okay? Three different sizes. And so let me tell you a little bit about why these boxes are three different sizes. And I want to talk about the big box, okay? This big box represents a story that I heard about during the week. And this story is about a guy who is a major league baseball player, okay? Some of you who love sport might be aware that there was a American Major League Baseball game in Sydney this weekend. And so this box represents the story of a Major League Baseball player, and his name is Clayton Kershaw, and you can see he's the big guy at the back. Now, let me tell you about him. Just recently, the Los Angeles Dodgers, so one of the Major League Baseball clubs in the US, and Clayton Kershaw agreed on a 7-year, $215 million deal. 7 years, $215 million. And if you know your football, which some of you probably like your football, whatever, that is equivalent to 24 Buddy Franklins. Okay? Now, on Channel 9 during the week, they reported this. Kershaw is different to other multi-million dollar sports stars because he doesn't spend his money on fast cars, he doesn't spend his money on booze, and he doesn't spend his money on women. Instead, Kershaw and his wife Ellen, and Ellen's pictured there as well, who are Christ followers, on a visit to Africa, were impacted by an orphan by the name of Hope. And that led them to found an orphanage in Zambia called Hope's Home, which they visit every off-season. Clayton Kershaw has a big box. You'd agree? $215 million over 7 years. But you know what else Clayton Kershaw has? He has a generous spirit, and that generous spirit is making a difference to the orphans in Zambia. So that's the big box. The middle size box, okay? One in the middle there, middle size. That box represents Gary's story. And I think that most of us here today would be able to relate to Gary. Now, Gary is a middle class white Australian male. He earns an above average wage. He's been following Jesus for most of his life, and over the years he's had his fair share of struggles and doubts in his walk with Jesus, in his faith. Gary is an interesting Australian male because you'd think that the first thing that would go when you were struggling with God and with the church would be your tithing and your giving, but not with Gary. Even though there was a time when he didn't come to church, he still made sure that he gave to the church. And one time, when we were sitting down, I don't know where we were, but I just said to him, "Hey, Gaz, what's the deal with that? Like, to me, that just doesn't make sense." And he replied, this is what he said. He said, "The more I give, the more God blesses me." And right at this time in my walk and my journey, it's the only thing right now that seems to be real and seems to be working. I can't explain it. And he continued to give, Gary continued to give, even when he was struggling, because he had learned the spiritual principle of giving. That's the second box. And now for the little box. I just want to grab the little box. The little box. It's quite small, isn't it, compared to the others? The little box. Now, as I've been just thinking this week, I kind of thought, Why does it have to be that all of our boxes are different? All of our boxes are different sizes. If we all had a box here today, they'd be all different sizes, wouldn't they? No one box is the same. And I don't know why some of us, like Clayton Kershaw, get a big box. I don't know why they do. And I don't know why some have medium boxes like Gary, and then some end up with very little boxes like this. But what I do know, church, is that we have won. If you live in Australia, we have won the cosmic lottery. What does that mean? Well, I often look at images, and there's an image of poverty, image of two young boys. I often look at images of those who don't have much, who have small boxes. And I think, wow, you know, that's, God, that's not fair. It's not fair. And, you know, I don't know what your, how you think about poverty or what your perspective is. But the reality is and the truth is that those two boys that you see there on the picture, you know, they represent a lot of people in our world. And they represent a lot of people who were born into poverty. Born into poverty. And, you know, the truth is you can't choose where you are born. Isn't that true? And sometimes I do feel guilty about the box that I have. Sometimes I do feel guilty about that. You know, we are so rich in comparison. But I believe that instead of feeling guilty, we need to accept our box. You know, maybe that one sort of feels like it represents us the best this morning. We've got to accept what we've been given by God. But we also need to accept the challenge that we have been given by God. And that challenge, I believe, is in Luke 12, verse 48. And it's going to come up on the screen. Very challenging. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. That is the principle of to whom much is given, much is required. We've been blessed. We've been so blessed. And that means that we have a mandate to bless. It's our call to bless. So what does that look like? Well, three things. I've got three more boxes for you. Three things I believe it looks like. The first thing is this one. The simplicity box. In 1 Timothy 6:6, let's read this together. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Let that just sink and just permeate around you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Beautiful truth. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I want to say that contentment here means a satisfaction in one's circumstances. Okay, a satisfaction in one's circumstances or position in life. Or you might even say a satisfaction with everything that God has, your box, the box that you've been given by God. And Paul was not advocating a godless self-sufficiency as a source of contentment. What he was advocating was a Christ-sufficiency. And maybe for us this morning, maybe for us, this might mean that we need to take stock of our everything. Do a bit of a stock take. And maybe this morning God might say, You need to downsize. You need to simplify. And the reality is that having the biggest box or having the biggest toy box doesn't necessarily mean that we will be content. In fact, it often means the opposite, because we just pursue more and more and better and bigger. I believe these verses are a call to keep it simple. A call to be content with what you have. The scripture says, be happy with food and clothing, a roof over your head. And why would Paul say that? Well, here's the truth. The truth is right there in verse 6. Godliness coupled with contentment is a phenomenal thing, is a great thing. And I also believe that if we simplify, or we grab a hold of this thing called simplicity, that our lives will be less cluttered. And we'll be able to respond more readily and more quickly to the things of God, to the things that God is calling us to. We will also have more space for and more space to be focused on the things that matter, you know, relationships and doing good stuff for God, ministry. It also opens a door for us to be more generous. You see, the bottom line is that contentment and simplicity enables us to be a blessing, enables us to be generous. Now let's jump down to verse 17 in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I want you to notice what the scriptures say here. God richly provides us everything for what? For our enjoyment. Whatever size box you have. You know, this is not about living for the self-gratifying pleasures of this life. This is about simply enjoying all that God has given you and enjoying it for His glory. It's an interesting scripture. Let's have a look at our second box this morning. Second box today is deeds. Deeds. Our resources. Verse 18 says, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds. Paul is encouraging Timothy here to encourage the wealthy to be rich and truly rich in doing good things, in blessing others. Be rich in good deeds. Why? Why is Paul encouraging Timothy to encourage his followers to do this? Well, I believe because great things can be accomplished for the kingdom of God. Church, can I encourage you to think about how this intersects your discipleship journey this morning? Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. This has the potential to make a significant impact on our world for the kingdom of God. And verse 18b, we move on. And to the generous and willing, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of a life that is truly life. Now the third box. This is the part we've all been waiting for. The money box. The money box. finances, generosity. Let's kick this around for a bit. As I said to you earlier, church, what you see here, what happens from Christ to cosmos, it doesn't just happen. It happens and it depends upon men and women like you and me who decide out of the goodness of their hearts to sow into the mission of this church. And this morning I want to show you our financial forecasting for 2014. Our expected income and also where we are expecting to spend or the expenses that we're going to have for this year. I want to do this so that you get a feel for the scope of what happens in this place. And I also want you to see that there is a commitment to making sure that the money that comes to us, to the servant leadership team, to us as a leadership, there is a commitment to sow that back into this mission that God has called us to, and that is helping people find and follow Jesus. So, our projected income this year. A couple of little comments that I want to say about this. Probably a little hard for you to see, so I'm sorry about that, but I can explain them to you. The first thing to notice there is that our projected income is an income of $1.27 million. That's a lot of money. And in that $1.27 million, you need to know that that at this stage includes LifeStreams Karawara, all their income, okay, all from their offerings and things that that happen over at our church plan, our daughter church, so you need to know that. And secondly, it also includes all of the finances that come in from our recently started three-year-old kindy and our out-of-school care. So keep that in mind as we chat about our projected income for this year. Now, the projected offering that we are believing God for this year is just under $1 million, $968,000. And you need to know that that doesn't include the money that comes from mission, okay? Mission money is over and above that offering money, okay? So when you couple that big figure of $968K, you could add another $200K+ on top of that. And so that gives you very quickly a great picture that you guys are so generous. That's over $1 million given to the mission of this place, but also to the mission from here to the ends of the earth. Under offering, our next biggest source of income is our hire of facilities and hire of our buses. So there's $152K that comes in for the hire of those things. So again, that's a significant amount of money, isn't it, for people using our building and hiring our buses. And Graham and the support services team need to be honoured in their capacity to generate that income that then gets put back into mission, which is excellent. Next one is sales. That includes things like money that comes in from the cafe, also fees for different sort of camps and all that sort of stuff. And that adds up to about $100K. And then under other is about just under $50K. So it's from dark through to light on the pie chart. Other is just under $50K, and that includes grants and different other sources of income. So that's just a quick snapshot of our income. Now I want to jump quickly to expenditure. And let's just quickly go through this. Again, dark through to light, so the smallest pie there is our general expenses. Then the second smallest there is operating expenses. That's just under $300,000. That goes towards upkeeping the building, making sure that this runs well, this place. And you can see that that becomes fairly important when it's also generating income. And so that's operating expenses. And then a significant chunk of the pie goes to our employment expenses. And if you were here 5 weeks ago, we had all our staff out the front. We have a big staff. We're blessed with a big staff. And it costs money to have a staff. And I also need you to know that that includes Darren's salary at LifeStreams Karawara and also includes all of our three kindy staff and our out-of-school care staff. It also includes insurance. It also includes super and all the things that we have to legally and we're obliged to pay employees. So church, that is just a really quick snapshot of our income and our expenditure. And if you would like more details, you are quite welcome to ask Graham. And in a couple of weeks, you'll see our AGM. And at our AGM, we're always committed where we're legally obliged to make sure that we provide audited financial records, and then you'll be able to see in more detail where the money is spent. Also, in your community life, I'm wondering whether you could grab this little brochure in your community life. In our community life, there's a brochure called Giving Streams. And I think it is really important that if you're wanting to know how to what to do in order to sow into the vision and the mission of this place, that it's very clearly in front of you. And that's what we've wanted to do this morning, is to give you this. Can I encourage you to have a read? In there, there's an article that I believe has been written by John, but it's just a great article that directs you to some of the key scriptures about giving and tithing, Old Testament and the New Testament. So feel free to have a read of that. And then also on the other page, there is our giving streams. And we have five giving streams. And you can see them there. There's the local or the general. There's mission, which is for our C2C ministry. There's a building fund. There's a community care. And there's a trust. And those community care and the trust monies are all tax deductible, and they allow us to make a difference in our world. We give them to people. We give the money to that of those trust funds to people who are in need, which is excellent. And then under that is ways you can give. And there are four different ways that you can give. There's obviously online banking, which many of us would be aware of these days, and they're the account numbers. There's credit card. You can give a regular tithe by completing our credit card authority form. And if you go online, you'll see on the back page there's the website link. You can download, or you can get from the info desk or from Eileen at the front office, a credit card authority form, and you can set up a regular payment with that. Also, these envelopes, you receive an envelope every single week in your community life, and then we take up an offering every Sunday. So there you have it. So what? So what? Where does what we've looked at this morning touch your discipleship journey? Before we get practical, I think it's really important for us just to have a really quick chat about motivation. And as we've been preparing for these core values, our heart, and I hope that you hear this, our heart as a creative planning team is committed to making sure that we don't make people feel guilty, or we don't shame people into doing things for God. And it's our prayer, it's been our prayer that two things would motivate you to live a life of simplicity and generosity. And I just want to very briefly touch on them. And the first one is love. Love. You know, our prayer has been, may Christ's love motivate you towards a life of simplicity and generosity. God so loved the world that he gave. You know, church, we cannot outgive God. We can't outgive God. So may Christ's love motivate you towards these things. The second thing is, we want you to know that there is freedom here. There's freedom. Fantastic passage of scripture is in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. And I want us to read this out together as well. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's just the truth. Each of you, and this is the part that I want you to get, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's the principle that Gary had learned. Church, there's freedom here. I think you know this. You don't have to give. There's freedom. It's your choice. And as those scriptures say, it's between you and God. So as we close, I wonder what maybe some of the practical implications are for us this morning. What are the practical implications of these three things that we've looked at today? The first one, simplicity. A call to be content with what we have. Is God calling you to simplify your world? The second box, deeds. Is there something that the Spirit of God is asking you to do with your time and with your gifts, with your resources? And the third thing, money, the money box. Is God calling you to experience the living out of generous living that is outlined in those verses in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6? Is he calling you into the experience of generous living? Let's bow our heads. It's our hope as a leadership team that you would pray about these things. And as you pray, our prayer is that you would simply be obedient to the Spirit's voice. And if you want to participate, in the mission of helping people find and follow Jesus, it's our prayer that you would just simply give as the Spirit leads. And if you already do that, God bless you. God bless you for your generosity. Lord, as you know, we live a complex and a busy, often busy life. Our world is complex and busy. And often that busyness gets in the way of what really matters. Help us to be content with what we have and willing to simplify so that we can be generous with the resources that you have blessed us with. Our desire, Lord, is to be a church that is committed to simplicity and generosity. And we want that simplicity and we want that generosity to be used to help people find and follow you. Please keep reminding us of your grace, your love, and may that motivate us towards these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, let's continue to bless. Let's continue to be a blessing. And let's continue to make a significant impact on our world for the kingdom of God. Now, if you could grab your community life again, inside your community life, you'll notice there's a care card. Great way to be able to communicate with the team. And prayer points, if you want to take another step in your spiritual journey, please indicate that on the card and one of the team will follow you up. Also, if you're a new friend here this morning, you're a visitor, I'd love to encourage you to go to our new friends table. Just a fantastic place where you can connect with people. There's a free coffee there and also a great morning tea. As you move out into the rest of your day, you'll notice that there's a compassion stand, so Compassion Australia stand out in the foyer. Love you to go and have a look at some of the children that need our generosity. So please do that. And then also prayer partners, if there's anything you want to pray about, any ministry that you want, we would love to be able to do that. And don't forget, prayer tonight is at 5:30 in Area 2. And also, as a church, we have a very special person here today. And that special person is turning 100 years old on Tuesday. And I'm wondering whether we can put our hands together for Elmer Harris and celebrate that. Good to celebrate life. And she's going, no, cut it. We just wanted to honour you, Elmer. Beautiful. Well, God bless you, church, and God bless you as you go into the rest of your day.